In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is Pekroth, or the protection of the Mother of God. And this is a feast that is interesting in that the Russians celebrate it most highly. It's not really a big feast in the Byzantine calendar, but it happened in Constantinople. And it happened because there were Russians that were trying to invade, but they were turned back by the Theotokos. And what happened was, she was praying, for interceding for her people, for her flock, the flock of her son, which she considers her flock as well. And she was seen by the fool for Christ, Andrew, who, a fool for Christ, if you don't know, is someone who acts foolish, but is actually holy. They conceal their holiness by acting foolish. Oftentimes they're very sane around people they know, that they know are serious people. But around the rest of the world, they act crazy. They do insane things. There was a fool for Christ once who, when Ivan the Terrible was going somewhere, and it was in the middle of Great Lent, he stopped the carriage and he was eating a sausage in the middle of Great Lent. And Ivan was really angry about this, because how can you be doing this? It's Great Lent, we have to not be eating meat. And he said, well, you know, basically something to the effect that you eat people. You might not eat meat, but you eat people. So they do crazy things like that. I don't know the crazy things that Blessed Andrew did, but probably most people thought of him as just an insane weirdo. But God was close to him. And so he saw the Theotokos with her omophore stretched out, and she was praying for the people during a service. And that's what we are celebrating today, this protection. The Mother of God does intercede for us. There's something in the gospel today that I think definitely was true for Andrew, and it should be true for us, that we should be sons of the highest. He was such a son of the highest that he had such purity that he saw this occurrence. It's happening right now. Does anybody see it? Maybe a child sees it. We should all see it. We should all see the light of God. Now, the gospel for Mary is very typical for her feast days, is the one about sort of the composite gospel, where Mary and Martha are having dinner with Jesus, and Mary is just sitting at his feet, and Martha's going about serving, and she's upset about that. And the Lord tells her that Mary's chosen the good part. Then later on it goes on and sort of skips where the woman says, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou didst suck. And the Lord agrees. The idiom is that he agrees with her, but he says, indeed, we have it as yea, rather. And it is that, but the idiom is that, yes, but this is even more true. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I want to talk about this good part now in the first gospel that we read, which is the gospel for this particular Sunday after Pentecost. It's the gospel of the golden rule. And it's the gospel of choosing the good part. Now, this is very good news, because it's an easy way to be saved. We have a lot of people that are inquiring about the faith, want to be catechumens and be baptized. And in talking to them, they're sometimes rather amazed at the amount of things that are in Orthodoxy. The amount of, I suppose you could call them rules, although if you don't really understand, it's not really rules. They're more hedges round about us. They're things to keep us safe. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things. And you can feel like you're failing if you don't fast very well, or perhaps you don't go to church as often as you think you should, or you're late to church, or whatever. There's a million things that a person can say, I'm not doing well at. And maybe you'll never do well at a lot of those things, but you can do well at this thing that is spoken of in the gospel today, and that's the good part. And I'll tell you why it's the good part. It explains at the end of the gospel why it's the good part. That good part is the part that really matters. There's only a few things in life that really matter. You could really say there's only one thing in life that matters, and that's that God made us in his image to become like him. That's all that matters. We were talking in catechesis yesterday, and I was bragging, basically, that I have only one story to tell. I'm just a one-trick pony. All I care about is that we're made in the image of God, and our destiny is to become like God and to be with God. Now, if that is our destiny, then it makes sense that there are things that lead to that destiny and lead away from it. And this gospel is exactly what leads to it, and it's very easy. You might not remember all the fasting rules, and you might get confused about the old versus the new calendar, and you might not know when it's an oil day or even what an oil day is, all that stuff. You'll learn all that stuff eventually. And there might be Orthodox Christians that have been 40 years Orthodox Christians and don't understand it. But if they understand this, then they are true Christians. And that is the Golden Rule. And the reason for the Golden Rule. Well, the Golden Rule is not really a rule about conduct. It's not really something that's externally imposed upon us. It's internal. It is a way of life based upon who you are. And who you are had better be based upon who God is. And since God is love, we should love. Since God sent his Son to be like us, to make us to become like him, we should be like him. That's the basis of the Golden Rule. Now, it's expressed in sort of a formula that we all know, but it's not an external rule. It's an internal thing of the heart, and it's an easy way to live. So let's look at it a little bit. The Lord says, as ye would that men do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise. Now, in our world, there's this idea called the law of attraction. If you do something, other things can be attracted to you. If you're good to people, they'll be good to you. That's not the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule is be good to people because God is good. It doesn't matter if they're good to you in return. And then the Lord goes on to tell them, basically give this teaching. He says, if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. Or if you do good to them that do good unto you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And then these magnificent words, when I read them, there's just this resonance in me. Do you feel that resonance? Do you feel this sort of opening of your heart and this warmth when you read such beautiful things in the gospel such as this? He says, love your enemies and do good to them, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We could spend a lifetime and we would not truly understand these words, but our task is to understand them. And the only way you understand them is by doing them. They're so magnificent. To love your enemies, what a magnificent and a beautiful thing that is. What a rare thing that is to do. And it's really easy. If you experience God, it's easy to love your enemies. It's a whole lot easier to love your enemies than it is to be completely pure in your thoughts, or to never be lazy, or to never have any irritation, or any impurity, or anything like that. Those things are really hard to do. And if you measure your life by whether or not you do all that stuff, you're always going to be failing. Every time. But if you measure your life by whether or not you live as a child of the Highest, and that because of that, you love your enemies, you do good to those that don't do good to you, or those that you don't know what they'll do to you, and you hope for nothing again except that God would live in your heart, then you are a true Christian. This is the easy way of life. To love your enemies, to love your friends, to love your neighbor. This is why I talk all the time to all of you about prayer. You must be praying for those around you. This is the highest expression of love. Because certainly, if you have a child, let's say, that has some illness and needs a surgeon, And you find out that there's this one surgeon who's world-renowned and is loved by all and really is a fantastic surgeon. And then you know another one that's just gotten out of school. Which one are you going to choose for your child? Of course you're going to choose the one with experience, the one that gives your child the best chance of a really good outcome. Well, if you love someone, what are you going to give to them? You're going to give them just your own puny efforts? Or you're going to give them prayer to God and to his mother and to the saints, as well as your efforts? See, it's not either or in this case. But if you don't give your prayer, then you can't really say that you love. So pray and love. Pray and do. You pray before doing, during doing, and after doing. Prayer is a constant. And then you're like children of the highest. I was just thinking, when I was thinking of Prokhorov, Father Nicholas is going to describe it to the children after liturgy for the children's sermon, because he knows history things better than me. I wouldn't get all the details right. But I was thinking how Blessed Andrew, ignored by almost everybody, probably pushed around by a lot of people, gossiped about by a lot of people, probably went hungry pretty often. Probably, maybe he was even mistreated sometimes, mud thrown at him, or he was pushed or punched or other things. And he's seeing the Mother of God praying for the people because he's a child of the highest. This is beautiful beyond words. And the reason why he saw was because of his overall purity and his love for neighbor. This is the easy way of life. There's a time for us to talk about other things, to talk about sins and to talk about difficulties. There's incredible difficulties in our world right now and also in our ecclesiastical world. Terrible problems in Ukraine. People are suffering and they'll continue to suffer because of the sins of men. And no matter what you feel about the situation in Ukraine, your heart should feel this deep agony that your brothers and your sisters are suffering, and so you should pray for them. And you can see the example in our church that our bishops have told us to actually say a prayer aloud in the liturgy every single time, and for a long time probably. It'll probably go on for a couple years at least. And they also pray for America because they see the terrible problems that we have in America with immorality and drunkenness and how fractionated we are and in opposition we are to each other in just about every sense. So we pray this prayer, and I gave it to you last week, and I expect you to be praying it too. And the reason you should be praying it is out of love for your brother. I'll repeat myself. You can't be completely pure, or perhaps you can't fast really well, or perhaps, you know, you're not really that great at going to services, or you get kind of bored in the middle of them, or whatever happens to you. So you can't fulfill all the quote-unquote rules, but you better fulfill this rule, because this rule is to be a son of the highest. And that is to be a child of God because we are like God. You got to fulfill this rule. There's no waffling about this whatsoever. But it's an easy rule, because if you experience God by opening your heart to God, then you experience his love. And it's very easy when you experience love to give love. It's very easy to do that. And then you give love to others and the love increases, because that's how love is. You can never give love away, because you never lose it when you give it. Everything else that we give money or we give food, we lose it. Even if we give our time to people, we can't regain that time to do something else. But love is not like that, because love is ever renewed, because love is God. Love is eternal. So this is the easy way. Thank God that we can do this. This is extremely good news, to choose that good part. So what you should do in your life is be looking for ways all the time to love others, especially the difficult ones. The easy ones, they're easy. We don't get a whole lot of credit for them. But when you love those that are difficult, loving the unlovely, then you're a child of the highest. And then you have this opportunity eventually, probably only in heaven, to be like Andrew and to see holiness. In this life, probably we won't be seeing too much of that, those things, because of our sins. But regardless, if we are loving our neighbor and doing good, then we indeed are children of the highest. This is the reason to do good. This is actually the reason to do everything that is good and the reason to follow every commandment, because we are children of the highest. So we should live as his children, because there's no higher way to live. There's no better way to live. This is the gospel. It's really exciting. I hope you're excited by it. I hope you're energized by it. I hope that if you have some problem, that you don't think so much about that problem, but you think about and do good to others. Because if you do good to others, then your problem, whatever it is, whatever sin it is, long-standing or not, God will help you with it. Of course, I'm not telling you to ignore your sins, by no means. May that never be. But the good part is to know that you are a child of the highest, and then you act like one. And if you act like one in loving your neighbor, then the other things will also follow. And you will have purity and peace in your heart and knowledge of God and all of those other beautiful things just by following the golden rule. May God help us. God bless you.